Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Taking as a sermon text today the first couple chapters of Habakkuk. What gets different people asking why is different. My friends all drive Porsches. Lord, why won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? I must make amends. It's easy to laugh along with Janice there. It's a stock trait of comedy, laughing at the tragedies of those born on third base or who have come into great wealth. There's certainly a little of that, even in Shakespeare's Hamlet. Oh, poor Prince Hamlet. It was the entire point of Paris Hilton's Simple Life, and even part of setting up GoFundMes for Martha's Vineyard recently. Of course, that last one includes another side. The illegals or the migrants whose hopes and situation might be more likely to inspire why questions. Hurricane. Another weather events are a perennial cause of why. But such weather-related whys can also inspire in some people the old man yells at cloud meme. What are you going to do? It's weather. Or a bit harsher, if you don't want hurricanes, don't live in Florida. There are all kinds of things that kick off why questions. And the worst response possible to why is a game of competitive suffering. Because even if in a purely cold world, the comparison is ridiculous, in the real world, it's still somebody's suffering. And both simply laughing at it, or even worse, trying to win a game of competitive suffering just doubles down on everyone's misery. And the deep truth about that why must be that it's not really an interesting question, or the actual answers are beyond our ability at this time to take in. Because God just doesn't answer them that often. Maybe more precisely, his answer is always this cross. He did not spare himself. What any reasonable person would score an ace in that competitive suffering game. Most of the time, when why comes up in the Bible, you get the God of the whirlwind in Job. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without understanding? Were you there when I laid the foundations of the deep? But today's text is one of those very few times that God attempts an answer to why. Habakkuk is writing around 610 BC. From Jerusalem. It's well prior to the exile in 586 BC, but it's in the aftermath of good King Josiah's reforms. They got the dream king they wanted, and nothing really changed. We think that if we get our God, if the world just did things our way, it would all turn into the Big Rock Candy Mountain. Habakkuk is looking around at the results of King Josiah's reform and taking measure. And he sees all the same problems. God still feels absent. How long shall I cry for help? And you will not hear. Senseless violence continues. I cry violence and you will not save. The righteous suffer and the wicked prosper, and even the laws of Josiah do nothing. The law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. God, why do you allow this? Why do you not do something? Now, our lectionary reading this morning shortens both Habakkuk's questioning and God's answers. What it cuts out is God's first response to why don't you do anything. God's first response is in Habakkuk 1, 5 through 11, if you want to take a look at it later. But his first response is, Habakkuk, I am doing something. Look closer. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans. That's Babylon. And God goes on to describe the Babylonians as this terrible pride machine that runs over everything. God's answers to the problem in Israel is to bring Babylon. God's first answer is that the parade of horror amplifies. They all come for violence. They gather captives like the sand. At kings they scoff and rulers laugh. They pile up earth and take it. They sweep by like the wind, and go on. Such an answer doesn't sit well with Habakkuk. Doesn't really sit well with us either. God, why didn't you do something? Oh, I'm doing something. I'm making it all worse. I'm handing sinners over to their sin. But that is the legal answer to why. It's the same answer that Paul talks about in Romans 1. Therefore, God gave them up. And the apostle says it three times. God gave them up to a myriad of sinful conduct. And that giving up, that handing over, ramps up until even those who know God's righteous decrees not only do evil, but approve those who practice evil. If you can't beat them, join them. Celebrate it. Habakkuk, you think Israel is bad. And it is. But wait until you experience Babylon. And Babylon will eventually experience Persia. And Persia will experience Greece, and Greece will experience Rome. The purpose of the law is to increase the sin. What am I doing, Habakkuk? I'm making the sin of the world unmistakable. As you are groaning right now, Habakkuk, the entire world groans in its bondage to sin. All creation is subjected to futility. But that legal answer is like comparative suffering. Is this really it? Ever increasing futility? When Habakkuk renews his questioning, that's the line that he takes. Are you not from everlasting to everlasting, O Lord my God? Are you really going to fill that everlasting time, casting your nets out to drag up another beast from the deep, worse than the last? Is he then to keep on emptying his nets and mercilessly killing nations forever? Is that the Lord? Is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The God who promised us the land The God who brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Were all those complainers in the desert right? You brought us out here to die. We were better off in Egypt. And Habakkuk takes the place of faith. That is not the God I have come to know. That's not the God that Habakkuk has been a watchman for. I don't understand right now, God, but I will take my stand at the watchpost. I will look out to see what you have to say. And the Lord answers Habakkuk a second time. Habakkuk, write this vision. Make it plain on tablets. Carve it into the stone. Carve it into stone so big that somebody driving 80 miles per hour on I-10 will be able to read it. The vision awaits its appointed time. Oh, it comes. The day hastens. It won't prove false. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will come. And what is this vision? It's the vision of the God who does not cast nets for monsters, but sends out fishers of men. It's the vision of the God who does not forever hold sin against us, but turns in mercy 7 times a day. No longer killing nations forever, but gathering up those of every nation, tribe, people, and language. It's the vision of the God who not only endured the cross, sharing our sufferings, but the God who rose from the dead. God has done something. Christ is risen. The violence and injustice of the world did not stand. The law that went forth perverted under Pontius Pilate was reversed and justice done when Christ came out of the tomb. The innocent one was raised. That's the proclamation on the tablet. Christ is risen. Christ is risen, and you too shall rise. You've been buried with him in baptism, and you shall share a resurrection like his. That is the day that the broken will mend, and all the sad songs will end. That's the day the violence ends as swords are turned into plowshares. That's the day justice goes forth and Satan's lying ceases and Christ shall raise a scepter decreeing endless peace. That is the day. That day awaits its the appointed time when all the graves shall open and the sea shall give up its dead. That day awaits the appointed time. The end hastens. The world now groans for that day, awaiting the revelation of the saints. That day is not yet, but it's not a lie, because Christ is risen. The first fruits of the dead, one tomb has already been emptied. And that day has already come to that one of us out of time. Christ is risen. That day merely awaits the full number. If it seems slow, wait. Who would you like to cut off from the kingdom? Do you and I have better timing than that of God? It will come. That day will come. And until that day comes, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous join Habakkuk on the wall, waiting for the herald of the day. We join Habakkuk in faith in the God of Israel. Why? It's a sinful world, a world in rebellion against its creator. Why doesn't he do something? He has. Christ is risen. Satan has been defeated, and he prepares for us a place of justice and peace. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Wait for it. That day comes. It comes at the appointed time. Amen.